Ladies and gentlemen, Bristol Myers, makers of Sal Hepatica for the smile of health and Touché, the beforehand lotion, presents the Eddie Cantor Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, hi, Harry.
Fine, Eddie. Say, you look immaculate tonight.
Thank you, Harry.
Why, in fact, that suit you're wearing is the first bit of new material we've had on this program in years.
Would anybody like to buy a large economy size radio announcer cheap? Harry, it just happens I'm wearing a new suit because I had to buy an entire new wardrobe.
Huh?
Ida gave all my clothes to the clothing drive, UNCCM. United Nations Clothing Collection Month.
All your clothes?
Well, all my old clothes. My new clothes she gives to the HBWLDBBSS.
The HBWLDBBSS? What is that?
Her brother who likes double-breasted blue shirt suit. Did you contribute any clothes to the drive?
Well, frankly, Eddie, since I've been working for you, I'm ashamed to offer the kind of clothes I'm wearing.
What?
Well, I used to have fancy suits with patch pockets.
Yeah.
Now I have patch suits with no pockets.
Oh, Harry.
Then working for you, who needs pockets?
Oh, Harry! I'm asking a question. Didn't you give anything to the clothing drive?
Well, yesterday a fella drove up to the house, parked his truck, came to the door with a big burlap bag looking for clothes, you know. So I took him upstairs and showed him my wardrobe.
Oh, you gave him your clothes, huh?
No, he took one look at my clothes and left me the burlap bag.
Well, Harry, all kidding aside, this clothing drive is a fine thing and we should all support it.
Yeah, right.
It will furnish clothes for the needy in all the stricken countries of the world. You know, if you help the people all over the world feel warm, you'll feel warm all over.
Eddie, I guess when you were a kid on the East Side, you learned what it's like to be without clothes, huh?
Yes, Harry. Long before the fad started for women, I wore open-toed shoes.
You did?
In fact, I had open-toed pants.
Eddie, you mean as a kid you had to walk around with holes in your pants?
I wouldn't have minded the holes in my pants if it hadn't been for my underwear.
Well, what about your underwear?
I didn't have any. If you wore underwear, you were a sissy, Harry.
Well, surely you didn't have to go to school like that.
No, Harry. To hide my embarrassment, every morning when I had to go to school, I'd put a school book in my pants to cover the holes.
Oh.
One day a geography, one day a history book, one day an arithmetic book.
Gosh, Eddie, you certainly went through a lot to get a little schooling.
Yes, Harry, but I can't complain. You see, with what the teacher drilled in my head and the books I had in my pants, by the time I left school, I was educated all over. Those were the days, Harry.
Yeah, say, remember when you were a kid how you used to find a secret hiding place to smoke a cigarette so nobody would catch you and take it away from you?
I do the same thing today. I'm not taking any chances. No.
Well, Eddie, really, you've come a long way since those days.
Yeah, but that's America, Harry. It's the land of opportunity. In this country... Hello, Leonard Seuss.
Hello, Mr. Cantor.
Hi, Leonard. Leonard, I was telling Harry that this is the land of opportunity and that anyone who works hard can become a success. For instance, how old are you?
Well, my birthday is April 3rd. How old would that make me?
Well, look, Leonard, April 3rd is your birthday, but what year?
Oh, every year, Mr. Cantor.
Leonard, we know you have a birthday every year, but what year were you born in? Do you have a birth certificate?
Oh, when I was born, they didn't give me one because they didn't know if I was going to live.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The doctor still comes around and holds me upside down and slaps me.
Leonard, the fact that you're here tonight working for Mr. Cantor proves you're living.
You know what he pays me?
Yes.
That's living?
Leonard, let me ask you something. What do you do when you put your trumpet up to your lips?
I blow.
Goodbye, kid.
See what I mean? You and your land of opportunity. The kid says he's not getting enough money.
Oh.
And what about the raise you promised me? I never got it.
It's not my fault, Harry.
Well.
I wanted to give you a raise. I went to the War Manpower Commission and they said it was out of their hands.
Well.
Then I went to the Radio Announcers Guild and they said they couldn't do anything about it.
Well,
and finally, I even went to the Office of Price Administration and they said there was nothing they could do.
Well, Eddie, why didn't you go to the Wage Stabilization Board?
What, and spoil my luck?
tricks. Listen, Eddie.
Now, wait a minute. Now, let's not argue, will you? Let's step out in the hall and settle it. Leonard and Nora can take over. Ladies and gentlemen, he is Riding Roping Cowboy in the Moon, sung by Nora Martin.
Land of opportunity.
Land of opportunity.
There's a riding roping cowboy in the moon. Oh, yippee-yay, oh, yippee-yay. I can hear him sing a happy cowboy tune. Yippee-yay, oh, yippee-yay. Yippee-yay. I'd love to see, I'd love to see, I'd lady. Yippee-yay. I'd love to see, I'd love to see, I'd lady. Every night when I'm asleep, I hear him as he sings and yodels so dark. And it seems that I'm so very near him. But when I awake, he is gone. There's a rambling Norman cowboy in the moon. Oh, yippee-yay, oh, yippee-yay. There's a hooting, shooting cowboy in the moon. Yippee-yay, yippee-yay. Where's Mr. Kanner, Leonard?
Well, he's out in the hall with Harry Von Zell. I wonder if they're still arguing.
Yeah, but Harry, what do you mean I won't give you a chance? What do you mean?
Well, you say you find a lot of new talent. Here I am right under your very nose. Now, how can you tell I have no talent?
By my very nose.
Land of opportunity.
Well, it is a land of opportunity. Look at you, a big fat nobody. Gets a chance. And you get a chance to help millions of people every week.
I do? How?
When you stand at this microphone and tell people how to feel better faster.
Oh, you mean when I say... Ladies and gentlemen, when you wake up in the morning feeling sick and headachy due to the need of a laxative, take a glass full of sparkling sal hepatica. For sal hepatica taken then brings quick, gentle relief, usually within an hour. But that means you don't have to risk feeling miserable all day waiting until night to take a laxative. And besides this fast, gentle relief, sparkling sal hepatica helps sweeten an upset stomach by helping to reduce excess gastric acidity. So tonight or tomorrow, get a bottle of sal hepatica. Remembering this caution, use only as directed. Then, whenever you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better, thanks to gentle, speedy sal hepatica.
You see, Harry, every week you do help millions of people, but I resent you saying that I don't.
Yeah.
You only have to think back to last Wednesday night, after the show. Remember, after the program, we were leaving the studio on the first... Well, come on, Harry. I'll give you a ride home.
Oh.
You like the show tonight?
Oh, it's all right.
Nice.
Yes. Right.
Let's go out the side door instead of the front on account of the autograph hounds.
Well, Eddie, you run into more autograph hounds at the side door than you do in the front.
I know. Let's go out the side door, Harry.
Well, I don't know why. You know what it is. Every week, people stop you and try to get you to put them on your program.
It's the land of opportunity. That's all right, Harry. It's all part of the game. You never know when you're going to find real talent, you know, because people don't...
Hey, look at that. Yeah, hello, Eddie.
Yeah, that's
really
good.
Hello, everybody. How did you like my program tonight? Harry, I wonder if NBC would like to buy this pause for a station identification.
Hey, look, Eddie.
What?
There's a woman looking for you there. She wants to see you about some talent.
Some talent, did you say?
Mr. Cantor, I have a daughter.
I don't need any.
Mr. Cantor, my little girl is very talented. If you sign her up, you may have another Betty Grable.
Is this your little girl, madam?
Yes.
There's nothing about her that reminds me of Betty Grable.
Well, I'm only 3 1/2 years old.
Oh, please give her an audition, Mr. Cantor. Matilda loves you.
That's right, Mr. Cantor. I never miss any of your pictures.
You going to see all my pictures?
No, and I never miss them.
Young lady, you heard that joke on my program.
Yep, 12 times.
Only 12 times?
I'm only 3 1/2 years old.
What a very precocious child.
Give Mr. Cantor the apple, Matilda.
Here.
Thank you, Matilda. Do you always bring presents when you visit someone?
Uh-huh. This morning we went to see Van Johnson.
Van Johnson? And did you give him something?
Uh-uh. He's got everything.
Oh, isn't she a doll?
A Matilda, don't you know that girls don't even think of going out with men like Van Johnson till they're 18 years old? Now, why don't you just forget about being an actress? Isn't there something else you'd rather be?
Yep. 18.
Well, Matilda, sing something for the nice old man.
Thank you very much, madam. Little girl, do you know accentuate the positive?
Uh-uh.
Can you sing a little on the lonely side?
Uh-uh.
How about let's take the long way home?
Uh-uh. I'm only 3 1/2 years old.
Madam, take her out or she'll never be four.
Yes, well.
Harry, look. There's a sailor waiting for a lift. Let's pick him up, huh?
Yeah, okay.
Hop in, sailor. Where are you going?
Just got in town. I'm going to visit my folks.
Yeah. Where do your folks live?
Yonkers, New York.
Well, we'll take you to the Los Angeles city limits. It's only a few blocks from there. Say, sailor, you ought to see something of Hollywood before you go home. Maybe I could show you around.
Oh, I've been seeing a little of it through the canteen.
Huh?
I danced with Lana Turner, and yesterday I had lunch with Betty Grable. And Ann Sheridan had me out to a swimming pool.
Maybe you better show me around.
That's what I always said, you had to leave it to the Navy.
You know, Harry, years ago I was a sailor on a ship.
Oh, yeah? So what were you on, the Monitor or the Merrimack?
That was a good one.
Wasn't that good?
You cut that out, Harry Von Zell.
Harry Von Zell?
Yeah.
Not the guy I listen to on the radio all the time. No, I can't believe it.
Oh, well, I'll tell you something else. The man driving the car is Eddie Cantor.
Yeah. Say, it is Eddie Cantor. This is really a thrill for me.
It is?
Yes. If he's Eddie Cantor, then you must be Harry Von Zell.
Yeah, that's me in the flesh.
Yeah, he looks like he's got another guy in that flesh with him.
Wait till I tell my friends I shook hands with Harry Von Zell.
Well, I'm Eddie Cantor. What's your name?
Freddie Martell.
How about shaking hands with me, Freddie?
Be glad to. Any friend of Harry Von Zell is a friend of mine.
Well, look, sailor, since we're all friends, I'll stop here and call my house and tell him to get some food ready for all of us, huh?
Well, that's very nice of you, Mr. Cantor.
You don't have to call me Mr. Cantor. Just call me the little guy with Harry Von Zell. Hey, Freddie, What would you like to eat?
Well, the one thing I've been wanting since I left the base is a big plate of Boston baked beans.
Beans? Listen, don't you get enough baked beans in the Navy?
Yeah, but you'd be surprised how many times they try to slip over a steak on us.
I'll be right back. Hello? Hello? How do you do? Say, Russian.
Yes?
I'm bringing a sailor over to the house. Is that big turkey I brought home last night ready to be cooked?
It's been stuffed twice.
Stuffed twice?
First I stuffed it in the kitchen.
Yes?
And then I stuffed it in my stomach.
Why, Russian, even a pig wouldn't sit down alone and eat a 15-pound turkey.
You eat what you like, and I'll eat what I like.
Russian, tell me, does ignorance run in your family?
Yes, but we catch it.
Well, I'll forget about the turkey. Fortunately, Mrs. Cantor left a big beef roast in the refrigerator.
That was very, very fortunate.
What do you mean it was very fortunate?
What do you think I stuffed a turkey with?
That's it. Look, Russian. Russian, are you hearing me?
I'm listening to you intentionally.
Yes. Russian, I'm bringing home a sailor, and I want him to be entertained.
Okay, Kessler. Suppose I serve a little vodka.
Vodka? What's that?
Whiskey with a blowtorch.
Must be strong stuff. I'll bet it hurts the lining of your stomach.
If you drink vodka, you're not worried about the lining.
No lining?
No stomach.
Oh, Russian, since you managed to empty the refrigerator, go to the store and get some Boston baked beans and some sandwiches, all right?
Boston baked beans and sandwiches?
Yeah, and incidentally, Russian, can you explain why you're always in the refrigerator?
I have to go in there to put on my clothes.
What do you mean? You have to go in the refrigerator to put on your clothes?
Where else would you expect to find the Russian dressing?
Oh, goodbye, Russian. Sailor, we'll be getting to my house any minute.
Hey,
now.
Eddie, what? There's a woman trying to thumb a right. Let's stop. Huh?
All right, let's stop.
Oh, miss.
Yes?
We saw you trying to thumb a lift, and I just had to stop.
To give me a lift?
No, to look at your thumb. So your hands are all rough and chapped.
Oh, I thought you were going to help me.
Well, I am going to help you. That is, I'm going to tell you about Touché, the beforehand lotion.
Touché?
Yeah, Touché, the new idea in hand lotion. Touché will help keep your hands soft and smooth and lovely. You see, Touché is the beforehand lotion.
So what? When I get through the dishes, my hands will be rough and chapped again.
Oh, no, listen. You smooth a little Touché on your hands before you do the dishes or the housework. Because Touché will guard your hands even in hot, soapy water.
You don't say.
Well, I said it. I've said it time and time again. And you can use Touché not only for your hands, but as an all-over beauty lotion. For rough elbows and chapped legs and as a powder base. You'll find creamy, fragrant Touché is just more than another hand lotion. It's the beforehand lotion. Now, can we give you a lift?
No, thanks. Now that I've talked to you, I'm going the other way.
Where to?
To get a bottle of Touché.
Well, bless your thumb. You're being very smart to begin today to use Touché.
Holy smokes. What a big house. I can't get over it.
Say, Freddy, would you like to live in a house like this, son?
Oh, would I?
You're single, aren't you, son?
Yes, sir. I sure am.
Well, you can't tell. You might wind up living in a house just like this, son.
Look, sailor, don't you know a booby trap when you see one?
Harry, you shut up. I'm trying to show this boy that this is a land of opportunity.
And girls.
Hello? 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 That's funny. There doesn't seem to be an answer.
Did I get a nickel back?
Yep. Russian, where are you? I sent you out to get some sandwiches and Boston baked beans.
I'm at the grocery store. I called up to see if I could bring home sugar.
Well, I don't know. How much sugar? 5 pounds? 10 pounds?
I'll find out.
How much do you weigh, sugar?
Russian, you are not bringing anyone home with you. I've got a sailor here. We're going to entertain him. Now, you just get back here right away with the sandwiches and those Boston baked beans.
Baked beans they don't have.
What about the sandwiches?
Camper, this you won't believe because it's a lie. I got on the Sunset bus.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I had to sit on the lap of a beautiful blonde. This interests you?
I'm interested in the food, and you're sitting on the Sunset bus on a blonde's lap? Where are the sandwiches?
Them I placed gently in the empty seat beside her.
But Russia.
Yes?
If there was a vacant seat, why did you have to sit on the girl's lap?
Silly boy.
Russian, forget the sandwiches and just get the Boston baked beans and come right home. Freddy, the Russian will be here in a few minutes for the food. By the way, how long is your leave?
Oh, I'm not on a leave, Mr. Camper. I've received an honorable discharge from the Navy.
Oh, well, I guess you'll be in civilian clothes pretty soon, then.
Well, I expect to be out of this sailor suit in about a month.
A month?
Yeah. It'll take me that long to get out of these pants.
Well, I guess you'll be pretty glad to get back in civilian life, huh?
Yes, but I'll miss all my friends in the Navy. You know, the boys used to let me sing for them. In fact, when I left, they gave me this watch.
A watch, huh?
Yeah. I don't know if they gave it to me for singing or leaving.
Well, Freddy, you sang for the boys in the Navy. How about singing a little something for Harry and me, huh?
Yeah. Oh, golly. See, I don't know. I'd be pretty self-conscious.
Oh, that's nothing to be ashamed of. Plenty of times when I sing on the radio, I feel self-conscious.
Do you feel that way in front of Mr. Von Zell, too?
Well, you go ahead and sing, Freddy.
Gosh. He called me Freddy.
Dusk was falling on the Pacific. All was strangely still. In the silence before the battle, in a cockpit in Bougainville, faces were tense and waiting till a boy brought new hope their way. And fearlessly pulled his body as they knelt to God to pray. I had a little talk with the Lord. I had a little talk with the Lord. There on a battle-weary island, I had a little talk with the Lord. I begged the Lord to send down some rain, give me strength to stand up again. Right there, my heart began to smile, and I had a little talk with the Lord. And the Lord spoke, and the clouds broke, and the thunder crashed around. And I knew the Lord had blessed me, for the rain came tumbling down. Oh, have a little talk with the Lord. Have faith and you will share his reward. For I found the strength to fight for more.
Freddie Martell's over Leonard. Let's do one chorus with Freddie Martell, the sweetheart of all my dreams. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Very good, Freddie.
I love you. I love you. I love you. Sweetheart of all my dreams. I love you. I can't live without you. My life is empty, it seems. You may do what you may, whatever you say. You know that I'll always love you this way. I love you. I love you. I love you. You are my sweetheart in dreams, it seems.
Hello?
Long distance for Eddie Cantor.
Long distance? I'll take it. Hello?
Kevin? This is Matt speaking. It's terrible. It's too, too terrible.
Russian, what's so terrible and why are you calling long distance? Where are you?
I'm in Boston and they got no babies.
Say, Freddie, I started to say it's been a long time since I've heard a voice as fine as yours, really. You mean it? Do I mean it? I'll tell you how much I mean it. I'd like to have you sing on the Eddie Cantor Show next Wednesday night. That is, if it's all right with Mr. Von Zell.
Oh, no. You know it's all right with me, Eddie. In fact, I think it's great you're getting a return better and a chance like this.
Well, Harry, in all communities all over the country, they're doing just that. And I think it's a great idea because by making available to all returning servicemen the jobs that they can do best, we can be solving one of the most important post-war problems now.
Well, that's a fine idea, Eddie.
Oh, it's not my idea, Harry. It's just one of the plans blueprinted for us by that great architect, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Friends, because of what we are and what we will always be, the world will let us say tonight things we could not say a short week ago. 12 years ago, on another Thursday, Thanksgiving Day in 1933, Franklin Delano Roosevelt sat in the same little White House in Warm Springs, Georgia, where last Thursday the angels found him. And he talked to me of another plan, a plan that would make it possible for little crippled children to walk the earth free of pain again. That was the beginning of the March of Dimes. And it was for me the beginning of an experience, the memory of which I shall cherish and revere throughout whatever days there are left for me upon this earth. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was the most godlike man I ever knew, a modern Moses leading the children of the world through the wilderness. He hated war, but he hated evil more, and he found obedience to God in rebellion to tyrants. Of some men, it is said, only time can evaluate their deeds. Of him we can say, time will only prove what we already know. Somewhere in some far-off place, where men who fell in battle meet again, they are greeting their commander-in-chief. He had dreamed their dreams and lived their lives, and he had visited with them before, at Cairo and Casablanca, at Yalta and Dakar, before they too gave their last full measure of devotion. And now he has joined them again to pay them his final visit.
Ladies and gentlemen, our essay contest on the subject juvenile delinquency, its cause and solution, continues for 2 more weeks. All entries must be in by midnight, April 27th. We will announce the winners on May 2nd. And now we're a little late, so good night for all of us, everybody. And don't forget Sal Hepatica and Fuse Weave Beforehand. Hey, Mom, have a heart, will you? When the youngsters in your family run around the house sniffling from colds, you can be pretty sure they're darned uncomfortable. So help them get fast relief from those annoying cold symptoms with Minute Rub, the modern chest rub. Just rub a little Minute Rub on the throat, chest, and back, and in a minute, there's a pleasant sensation of warmth as Minute Rub begins to stimulate lazy surface circulation. In a minute, Minute Rub's menthol vapors help relieve that clogged up feeling in the nose and throat. And listen, here at last is a chest rub that's greaseless and stainless. This appears like vanishing cream, so it won't harm clothes or linen. So don't forget the modern way, the greaseless, stainless Minute Rub way.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.